Newlands. It's time for another episode of Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. Hi there, Candice.
That's Ayoba, Duncan.
Yeah, all the mobile operators are coming up with all these African words for their new operations. And Haita is the new one that's entered the lexicon with their billboards plastered all over town on the internet, on television.
Well, hopefully we'll be proved either wrong or right soon.
Yeah, well, this Thursday is the launch at Lanseria Airport. And it looks to be that Telkom is the company behind the Haita branding. And we should have all the details on what the company will be called, whether it's called Haita or something else. We'll have the details this Thursday. But we have confirmed that Haita is the marketing campaign, the beginning of the marketing campaign. I'm sure it'll be quite a high-profile and long-running marketing campaign by Telkom as they launch their first mobile offerings.
Well, it will have to be a very hard-hitting and long-running mobile campaign, advertising campaign, if they want to keep up with the likes of Vodacom and MTN's deep pockets.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking on some very, very big players here. I was driving around town today, Candice, between different meetings, went to lunch in Sandton and a couple of other places, and literally every block I turned into, I saw Trevor Noah's face on the side of just about every building in the city. It's crazy. CLC must be spending millions.
Well, like we were chatting the other day, I was wondering what the daily just newspaper spend and magazine spend for MTN is. You know, these guys put in a lot of money to get their brand out there. CLC obviously doing this big push to get a bigger name, and, you know, Telkom's going to have to keep up with that.
Yeah. This is you've got two established players in the market in Vodacom and MTN, and they've got very deep pockets. But this is a maturing industry, and we've got two new players effectively. CLC has been around for 10 years, but they're like a new company. They've got a new network, and they're really quite gung-ho in their approach at the moment. And you've got Telkom Mobile coming in, and they know they've got a big fight in their hands as well if they want to get some market share. So you've got the two incumbent operators and the two newbies on the block, both very well resourced financially, clearly, and getting into the space. I think we're about to see a mobile war of unprecedented proportions in this country.
Well, wouldn't that be exciting? At least it'll keep us in bread and butter.
Yeah. But this Thursday, all the details on Telkom Mobile should come out. Keep an eye on our Twitter stream at Tech Central. We'll be tweeting live from there and probably keeping up quite late into the night, providing all the details of that event, which is promises to be one of the biggest launches in 2010 in South Africa.
It does indeed. And I, for one, am looking forward to seeing what Telkom actually comes out with as an offering, because it will need to be quite competitive. It will need to be interesting, and it will need to, you know, capture the imaginations and you know, the wallets of the consumer.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I'm going to be watching really closely what sort of tariffs they announce and how those compare with the other operators. Particularly for on-network calls between Telkom Mobile and Telkom Fixed Line customers. I think that's going to be very, very telling. At the moment, you pay basically mobile rates to phone from a mobile phone to a fixed line. I have a strong suspicion that Telkom is going to introduce a much lower mobile to fixed line and fixed line to mobile rate. And that may, in fact, attract a lot of consumers. And even corporates, funnily enough, because a lot of calls that are made inside companies are to mobile phones.
Absolutely. If they do, though, I suspect that there will be big legal wrangles with the incumbents.
They're certainly going to be. I think it's inevitable that there are going to be complaints of the Competition Commission around Telkom, especially if they start bundling products together. If they start saying, "Here's your DSL and your cell phone and your and this and that," and don't offer similar bundling options to the other mobile providers, if they start to offer those sort of fixed and mobile bundles exclusively without creating some sort of package or option for the mobile operators, I think they're going to end up in the Competition Commission very quickly. Quite interestingly, I had coffee with Pinky Moholi, the Telkom South Africa managing director. It must have been about 2 or 3 months ago now, and I asked her specifically about whether Telkom would look to bundle products together when they launched their mobile offering, and she looked at me, and her response was something along the lines of, "What is this word bundle? It's not in my dictionary."
Well, she is quite a character, but what I will be looking at on Thursday specifically is simplicity. Is what is the message that Telkom will bring to its consumer? You know, at the moment we're looking at 5 million packages from the three different operators that we have already. Half the time, I have no idea what's coming or what's going on. And what I want to see from Telkom is, capture my heart using the simplest language possible. Give me the simplest contract possible with the simplest tariff plan.
Mm.
That's the way I want to go. I want to know what I'm paying for.
Indeed, that's what I find so attractive about CellC's new offering. You've got two packages to choose from. Or you've got four, basically. You've got two broadband packages with a modem and two without a modem if you just want data. And it's that simple. And you pay up front and you get your product. I know that CellC is going to have to introduce new products down the line, but I think it's a smart move to come into the market with two basic packages that don't confuse consumers. You know what the value proposition is, you know what you're getting. And I think they're actually going to sign up a lot of people. Even people who really have data contracts with Vodacom and MTN are probably going to buy the CellC option just to try it out.
Well, if Telkom can come in with a similar plan, you know, maybe they'll have a shot.
Telkom's challenge, of course, is that its network has been deployed at the 1.8 and 2.1 gigahertz frequency bands because they don't have access to 900 megahertz, which could be a problem for them. It's something that CellC is particularly using to its advantage in that it's rolling out a 3G network at 900 megahertz, which for the non-technical listeners means that the signal will penetrate buildings more easily and they get a greater footprint around their base stations. But basically, if you're deep inside a building, you're more likely to get a broadband signal from CellC than from one of the other operators, purely because they operate at a lower frequency on their 3G network.
I think that Telkom's advantage won't be in the technology so much as its ability to bundle. And as you say, its ability to lower the call rates on net between Telkom Fixed Line and Telkom Mobile.
Yeah. Good. Well, Thursday night, we'll be there and keep an eye on Tech Central and our Twitter stream on our Facebook page and, of course, on the website and our podcast next week when we bring you all the details about the Telkom Mobile launch, what the Hyter branding means, and, of course, the name of the business. Moving on then, Candice, Centec is back in the news this week, or back on our website this week. We've had an exclusive, wide-ranging exclusive interview with the newly appointed chairman of Centec, Koresh Patel.
But before you go far, what are your thoughts on him? He seems like quite a character.
He's a really interesting guy. I like him a lot. He's very open. He's a no-nonsense sort of character. I think he's probably the right guy to be leading Centec at this particular juncture. I don't know how long he's going to stick around at Centec. I have a feeling that his appointment there may be temporary, or he may view his tenure there as temporary until he's managed to get a new CEO on board, which apparently is going to be happening quite soon, and basically got the company turned around and back on the right track. Some of the insights he's given me have suggested that the company has a lot of work to do to turn itself around. Keep an eye on Tech Central in the next couple of days because a lot of information came out of that 2.5-hour-long interview, and we will be teasing that out over the next couple of days and some of the big issues that Centec is facing at the moment. But the big news that we broke this week was that Centec is going to revive its plans to build a wireless broadband network, which has got a lot of people concerned.
Well, it's done this before, hasn't it? And it failed miserably.
Yeah, it spent over 500 million rand of taxpayers' money rolling out the My Wireless product based on a type of 3G technology, which has pretty much not been adopted anywhere else in the world on any significant scale. Centec was also ill-prepared to be a consumer-facing organization. And this just coupled with poor management meant that the My Wireless business ultimately failed. It was a disaster, and I think a lot of consumers are still angry about how they managed to screw it up. I know a lot of people were basically the first alternative to Telkom for broadband services or internet services in the South African marketplace. They had a beautiful license, multimedia license given to them, which they really could have built into a solid business, and they screwed it up.
Well, what makes us? How are we going to be convinced that this is going to work this time?
Well, Koresh Patel, the new chairman, makes a very solid argument. I don't agree with it. I don't believe that a state-owned organisation should be involved in the space because I believe, we're seeing it now, that there's plenty of competition in the mobile wireless market between Telkom and Vodacom, MTN and CellC, and getting more competitive with massive rollout. I don't think there's a role for Centec to be involved. But anyway, he put the case forward that these companies won't necessarily roll out services into some of the more outlying areas and wire up schools and wire up hospitals and clinics and town councils, etc. Now, that's the aim of this organization, although he said of this new network rollout, which will be based on WiMAX and will be compatible with LTE. So they'll be able to upgrade or move to LTE, which is long-term evolution down the line. LTE, of course, is the eventual replacement for the 3G networks, which the cellular operators have deployed right now. So they're looking to spend 2 billion rand on this network. They've already been granted 500 million rand grant from National Treasury. In fact, they got that a couple of years ago, and they've been sitting on that for a while, and it's been accruing interest. So they've got about, they're sitting on about 580 million rand now of that, and the rest they're hoping to raise from provincial governments and town councils to provide them with the funding to deploy this network. The idea is that you'd be able to buy broadband wireless access from the Joburg City Council, for example, or from the Tshwane Council, and along with your electricity and your water.
So basically they're competing with the Joburg Broadband Network Project.
They want to work with those guys to provide these services. It's all very early days. He says the business plan is only 60% completed at this stage. I'm very skeptical about this entirely. We've seen government getting involved in these sort of projects before, and Centec specifically getting involved in these sort of projects before and not pulling it off. And I worry specifically given that Centec has got some big challenges it's facing, not least of which is converting the country from analog to digital terrestrial television, which is a major project. I worry that they're going to lose their focus, and we could end up with a situation where they not only have they rolled out a wireless network which no one's using, but then they also screw up the digital terrestrial switchover because they've defocused their skills from that to focus on trying to build out a broadband network.
Well, I mean, there's already the concern that the company is not able to run past the end of December if it doesn't get financial input from the DOC.
Well, we discussed that as well, and he said that they have managed to turn the corner in that regard, and they won't be requiring funding from the DOC. He says the cash flow situation has improved, that they are starting to manage their debtors book more effectively. And that they don't expect they're going to have to go to government for a bailout.
That's good news.
That is very good news. You know, the last thing we wanted was another SABC type situation with taxpayers bailing out another failed government parastatal. They're going to roll out new network. Yes, I'm skeptical about it. Yes, they're probably approaching this in a better way than they did before.
Well, let's give him a chance to prove himself and the business a chance to run its course and see how it goes.
As Steve Song said in the comment section on Tech Central this week, in fact, in the comment on this article, and I agree with him, what should actually happen? Is that the spectrum, this vast chunk of spectrum Centec is sitting on, should be handed back to ICASA, given to private operators who can want to put their own money at risk, not taxpayers' money at risk, to build a network and get on with the job and help create a more competitive environment? Unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. I guess the government has a view that we need a mixed economy with government involvement in industry.
Well, there is that. But hopefully it will work out, and it will work out for the best.
Yeah. Good.
Not holding my breath.
Good. Well, let's move on from Centec. I will be talking about them again next week. But let's talk a little bit about Eaton Telecom, the British company that... is involved in infrastructure and tower sharing. Candice, you spoke to them this week about a deal they've won in Ghana. Is it with Vodafone?
It is with Vodafone. Essentially, they will be picking up Vodafone's non-active bits of the towers and upgrading them and possibly looking at co-sharing them with other operators, making money off that. They plan to invest a tidy sum in the upgrade of these towers, so hopefully Vodafone Ghana's customers will get a bit of a boost in terms of quality. But the big news is that it's really their first big deal on the African continent, which they've been waiting for quite some time.
Now, Eaton was one of the companies that was bidding for the Cell C tower sharing deal. Cell C was planning to sell its base stations.
Supposedly, yeah. I did speak to them a few weeks before this announcement, and Eaton did indicate that there were discussions on the go and that they would have a big announcement soon. I'm now thinking that this Ghana announcement was the big announcement that they were thinking of, as opposed to the Cell C announcement, which seems to have gone very quiet.
It has gone very quiet, and I'm wondering whether it's still going to happen. It's taking a long time, and the last time we spoke to Lars Reichelt, the CEO, about it was, must have been about two months ago when they announced the campaign around Trevor Noah. And he said then that it's just taking a bit longer because the lawyers are involved, but you know, it's been quite a bit longer now, so one wonders if it's still happening. The plan, as I understood it, was that Celsius was going to sell the non-active components of its towers, in other words, all the tower bits without the radio equipment that's attached to them, and then the buyer, Eaton or whoever else won the contract, would be able to use those towers to put up radio infrastructure for on behalf of other operators, and therefore make their profit in that way.
Well, I mean, if I think maybe what Celsi might have been waiting for was for a sort of a benchmark, and this Ghana deal might be it. You know, the planned investment in these towers in Ghana for upgrades and infrastructure sharing is huge. I think somewhere in the region of 80 million or 80 billion, I cannot remember the figure, please forgive me. But so, you know, maybe Celsius is waiting for a benchmark, something that they can say, okay, this is what they're planning on doing for these guys, maybe they can do the same for us.
Okay, great. Well, let's take a break there, Candice. We'll be back right after this break.
Welcome aboard Voxair Teleconferencing, where you can enjoy first-class service at a fraction of the cost, without the wait or the jet lag. Just an automated, hassle-free way to connect with people wherever they are, and all the legroom you need. It's like being there without the hassle of getting there. So why travel for business when you can simply teleconference? Call 01-0001-0001 or visit voxair.co.za. Voxair Teleconferencing from Vox.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. Kind of sticking with Celsius, big news this week was the fact that the Advertising Standards Authority has basically told them that they may no longer use their 4GS slogan in their advertising campaigns. That was the result of a complaint lodged by, or complaints lodged by, MTN and Vodacom?
Absolutely. It was a ruling that came out this week after obviously long deliberation that 4GS or Celsius. A statement of 4GS for great service or for great speed was too ambiguous and related too highly to the actual technical 4G standard of internet connectivity. So the ASA has basically said, sorry for you, it's not 4G and you can't use it.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at when Celsius originally announced this campaign, they were calling it 4G, not 4GS, and it was a very deliberate attempt by Celsius to make it appear that their network was more advanced than the networks operated by its rivals MTN and Vodacom. By calling it 4G, it looked like it was the next generation on top of 3G. I think it was to be fair, it was a little disingenuous of Celsius to change it to 4GS and then to suggest that it stood for great service and great speed when their initial intention was to market this as a fourth generation mobile network.
Well, I agree to some extent, but at the same time, I don't want to put too much pressure on Celsius because, to be fair, it is the fastest broadband network we have, wireless network we have in the country.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Celsius is doing a fantastic job, but I think they were being a little disingenuous on this issue. From a personal perspective, I couldn't care less if they call it 4G or 5G or whatever. I suppose the concern that Vodacom and MTN had was that it would cause confusion in the minds of consumers. Of course, Celsius has reacted, calling Vodacom and MTN corporate bullies and suggesting that they're going to fight this all the way.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not something that we don't see often, and you know, Vodacom probably, you know, is pretty pleased with the result of the ASA ruling because they themselves have been under the corporate bullying knife by MTN, who laid a complaint against them using the broadband term. Actually, it wasn't to MTN; it was a personal claim using the broadband term, which they're not allowed to use now in their advertising campaigns because technically it's not broadband.
All right, so it was a personal claim. So it was a complaint from a consumer,
as far as I understand. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's
it's all a little bit of a tennis match at the moment. You know, to and fro between these guys. Who knows what will come out in the end? But
yeah, it's like in a way it's like children throwing toys at each other in the sandpit. I mean, guys, get on with providing services and stop squabbling over these issues.
Yeah. Have you ever been to an ICASA hearing?
Well, yeah, those are lawyers. We expect them to behave like children in the sandpit.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's the last mention of Celsi. We they're starting to dominate the show this week. I think it just bears mentioning that Celsi also launched their so-called 4GS network or 3G network in Durban and Pietermaritzburg this week. So they've launched in all the major cities, bar Gauteng cities now. One can only imagine that Joburg is going to launch pretty soon. The rumor is still November, so that's only a couple of weeks away now.
Well, I can't wait for one. I'd love to see it in full action in Joburg. Oh, you've been playing with, so you know already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to get my fingers dirty in that yet, so I'm hoping to see it soon.
Yeah. I wonder how Celsi's going to play it around the whole Telkom mobile launch this coming Thursday, because. I wonder if they're going to try and preempt the Telkom mobile launch in some way by announcing the Gauteng launch the day before or on the same day or something like that, or whether they'll choose to leave the launch of the Gauteng network or leave any big announcements out of that week because of the fact that Telkom is launching that week.
Look, I hope they don't. I hope they give Telkom their fair chance at launch and don't start playing at the games that the incumbents did when Celsi launched. So... you know, it's. I hope that they're fair. You know, Celsi's got it's got a strong marketing presence right now. That Celsi is on the lips of everyone. Yes. I don't think they need to play the underhanded tactic of launching on the same day.
Yeah, be fun though.
I get to go to Telkom launch then. I've always wanted to be at Lanceria. So.
Staying with the mobile operators, Santi Buerta has quit MTN. It's quite an interesting development. She was there for 7 years and has headed up marketing for MTN over that time and has done an impressive job with all around the whole Yellow branding and more recently the Yorba branding. Everyone knows what a Yorba means and which network it belongs to, and everyone associates the color yellow with MTN. I think she's done a fantastic job.
Well, to be fair, Sarami Taukobong was also part of the Yorba campaign, but
sure.
Santi Buerta definitely has placed MTN on the map,
yeah.
Not just in South Africa, but across Africa. She has she has spearheaded the branding in on the continent and has done a fantastic job.
Yeah, she was previously a director at APSA, where she was responsible for their e-commerce initiatives. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, she was involved in plans at that time to launch an internet bank and various other initiatives before she left to join the MTN group. But she's done very well there. And Candice, we were talking about this week. Well, I wonder if this is the first of a number of high-profile resignations we're going to see from MTN, with their leader, Phuthuma Nhleko, leaving soon.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. It happened with Vodacom. It's going to happen with MTN. It is the changing of the guard. You know, the new CEO will want his own executive team around him. Those people that he knows and trusts and supports, and it happens in every business, and I suspect it will.
I they've got some very, very talented people at MTN though, so they need to be careful to try and retain that sort of top talent team, because it's a formidable bunch of people there.
Absolutely. Santi will be a great loss to the company.
I wonder where she's going. We tried to talk to her this week, but she said she'll talk to us in a couple of weeks. She's going to be there for another 3 months, so we'll talk to her before she leaves and get some detail on what her next steps are going to be.
Be interesting to see, and a great coup for the company that she's going to.
I doubt she's going to Telkom Mobile. good. Well, I think it's almost time to wrap it up. Just lastly, quite a fun story which came out this week was the news that Robert Gumede, the chairman and major shareholder in Gajima, one of the big JSE listed IT groups, has bought 49.9% of the rugby union that owns the Johannesburg Lions rugby team.
Yep, himself and a partner have bought into this team with the aim of sort of empowering it, I suppose, both on the side of giving it a chance to win and bringing more black spectators to the sports to the sporting arena, or specifically this sport.
You were saying that he was particularly impressed with the Super 14 final in... in Soweto, played at Orlando Stadium, and the number of black supporters who turned out for that, and that actually spurred him on to looking to invest in a rugby team.
Absolutely, he said that to me when I interviewed him on the day that he announced the purchase, and he, you know, it's very sort of Nelson Mandela. A lot of us have seen that the movie Invictus, and he sort of. He has a love for rugby. He has a love for all sport, and it's not his first sporting investment. But this one is particularly interesting because of the whole the number of black spectators that came through to Orlando Stadium, and you know, just give it a bit more profile.
And there was some talk, you said, of the Lions potentially moving their home base from Ellis Park to FNB Stadium?
There are rumours. It hasn't been confirmed, but I don't think it will happen. I don't think he's going to take them out of their home base.
Because half the problem with the Ellis Park and with going to watch the Lions here in Johannesburg is that the Ellis Park is really in a really seedy part of downtown Johannesburg, and it's not actually great to go and watch a game there, especially after sunset.
Well, Robert Gumede says that what he will do is encourage more games at the FNB Stadium and at Orlando Stadium, which are both very accessible stadiums now with train access, park and rides, you know, great access to these stadiums and fantastic stadiums in and of themselves. But I think one of the more interesting reasons that he might have made this purchase is his own profile. And, you know, he's all about empowerment. He's all about in increasing the profile of black businessmen. And I think what he might be doing is making himself more comfortable amongst the white businessmen who are big supporters of rugby.
I'm sure, knowing Robert Goodemade, that he also sees an opportunity to profit from this investment.
Of course.
And it's going to be interesting to see what it does for Lions Rugby. I mean, this team has performed abysmally over the last few years. They've got a new coach in place. They've seemed to have turned around this season. They've been winning quite a few of their games. You know, it seems to be a team on the up, and with this monetary investment, they can probably afford to bring in more top players. And I think you might actually see the Lions going from being one of the worst teams in the country to being one of the best rugby teams.
Well, with any luck, Robert is talking about you know, doing a lot more in terms of buying up better players, also in training up better players, or looking at proper talent and actually training them up and bringing them into the team, which is fantastic news for rugby.
Great. Good. Well, that's the end of this rugby show. thanks for listening to this week's episode of Talk Central. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, you can email us at info@techcentral.co.za. I think that's about it. Candice, thanks for your time, and thanks for listening to the show, and we'll chat to you again next week. Bye-bye.